So, very good evening to all the brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 3rd of March, 2020. It's a Tuesday. So, we will get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then, mindfully, we shall commence the puja chanting. Then, in front of you, there's a new book, unique code. Unique Dhamma code we just printed. If you don't have, collect it on the table there, the glass table there. Okay, we will start the puja now. Namo Bun Si Se Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Se Chia Moni Fo. Bun Si Se Chia Moni Fo.Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Ami Tofo. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa.Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagawa Buddhang BhagawantangAbhivademi Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Yeah, you can make your offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa BhagavatoArahato Sama Sambuddhasa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiDutiyampi Dhammang Saranang GacchamiDutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang GacchamiPanatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiMusawada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami สุราเมรัยามัจจาปะมาดัฏฐานะมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิ Now we will chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sarapa dithena dithena tamadang sina sambuddhang pujayami mahuludang ganda khambara yutena.Do pe na hang sukang hina puja ye puja niyang tang puja baca namutamang wanna ganda guno pe tang pe tang kesuma santatin puja ya mi monindasaSiri pada sarorohe Pedang kesumena nena Punena metena cehotu hokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati binasa bawangAdivaseto no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Hatigan hatu mutamang Adivaseto no bante Pali parikapitang Anukampang upadayaPatigan hatu mutamang Adivase tunobante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Okay, now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of all this puja offeringSignificance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.Which cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely sign on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, Sadhu.Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple J. Bandang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you can be seated. We are off the light, and you can have half an hour of silent inner awareness meditation. So you just need to relax body and mind. Then allow the mind to settle down. Don't have to do anything. You try it. After this, I'll go through you all on the unit code. Yeah. The unit code will explain to you regarding meditation. When you go through the unit code, you will understand better. So for those who already know how to meditate, it's very easy. For those who are still new, you may just try it out. Relax body and mind completely. Allow the mind to settle down. Then develop the ability to be aware. That's it. No need to know. Then this mind will settle down, and the thinking or whatever mental activity that is still running, you just let it arise and pass away. Then after a while, it will settle down and become very quiet and very still. Be aware of that silence, that stillness. That is your meditative mind, your silent mind. Then later on, when it stabilizes, that is your true mind, your true nature. You need to see clearly that mind. Then you understand you actually have two minds. One is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the condition arising mind, dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. That is the mind that is responsible for all the karmic thing, the creation, the arising of thought process. Even your feeling, your perception, your activity of mind, your ability to become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and what you tactically feel and think come from that mundane mind. And when the Buddha say, mind is a foreigner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises, all things arise. And that he is referring to your mundane mind. Whereas your true mind is just an awareness nature. It cannot come out and live life. It is not a being. It is just that nature, suchness, without word, without thought. But you need that one to arise the mundane mind. That's what meditation is. When you understand this, you understand what meditation is, and you will know how to meditate. To meditate is to enable the silent mind to develop the awakening and the understanding. Then the form and mind will start to understand that whatever that arise, they are. They arise from that nature. That's why finally you will come to understand nothing is apart from that self nature. That true nature. So the whole process of creation, mental creation, the world of consciousness, phenomenal world of consciousness, they arise and they pass away from that nature. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. And when the 30 minutes is up, I will set off the alarm. Then after that, I will ring the bell. When you hear the bell, you just relax, maintain awareness, and slowly and mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. Still wants to meditate, you can still continue. For those who are now, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner awareness, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed, eh? For as long as you can. Then make use of these mind states to develop the daily mindfulness, yes, to stabilize your mind so that it is constantly aware, so that it can be sensitive to whatever that arises in life. So the ultimate real meditation is still daily mindfulness, where you can be heedful and mindful in the midst of life. That is the real meditation. Okay, turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajasa Sunantu sakkamokkhadang dhammasavanan kalo ayam badanta dhammasavanan kalo ayam badanta dhammasavanan kalo ayam badanta namo atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva madusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pajatan Veditambo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Vicipatipanno bhagavato sāka sāngo yadidā catāri purisa yukādi atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sāka sāngo āhudiyo pāhudiyo dākidiyo Ajalikaradiyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripuja. Bundang Pujami Damang Pujami Sangham Pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Before we start, there is a book in front of you. This is the latest book that we have printed. The title of the book is Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Quotes Spoken by Me, Brother Teo. So those who don't have, you can collect from the front here. Anybody at the back don't have? The books are in front here. Or later on you can collect. No problem. Okay. Before we go into this new book, I'd like to finish off our eight worldly conditions. We are at page 655. According to Lord Buddha, as a lay person, we can have four types of happiness. These four types of happiness are very important. The first type of happiness is called Atisukang. This is happiness of possession. When you are able to have things like property, wealth, investment, or whatever that you can really gain them through the righteous way, we call this the happiness of possession. So they can be like whatever wealth that you receive. In fact, your health is considered under this happiness. Where you can have good health, when you can have longevity of good life, when you can have beauty, joy, property, possession, wealth, then strength, even good children, etc. The second type of happiness is derived from the enjoyment of such possession. Boga sukang. If you know how to make use of your possession for the good of the many, for the good of your loved ones, your whatever people who have affinity with you, or people whom you can help. So when you can make full use of whatever possession that you have for the happiness of others, yourself and your loved ones. So that type of happiness is the second type of happiness that you can receive. The Buddha called it Bhoga Sukhang. The Buddha does not advise us to renounce all our worldly possession, then retire to solitude. Huh? That is not the intent. He only encouraged those who already have the understanding that it is more important to accumulate wisdom to liberate the mind than to accumulate wealth. Yeah. So, under the Mahayana teaching, there is a very important saying. Yeah? It originated from the fifth patriarch. Yeah? He advised the monk, he said, do not chase after tinted merits. Yeah? You know what is tinted merits? Huh? Tinted means not pure. Yeah? Means this type of merits are just worldly merits, like possession, wealth, or reputation, or whatever that you believe can help you to have the good life and all those things. But then ultimately, you have to come back to rebirth, to experience all the karmic effect, good and bad. So tinted merits can give you joy and happiness too, but they will not give you wisdom. They will not lead to spiritual progress, awakening. So this aspect, the lay people, different. Yeah? Lay people, you are not ready for the spiritual search or spiritual task. So this four type of happiness is meant for lay people who are not ready for the spiritual task. But for some who have the understanding, they can actually gain all these four types of happiness, and yet they can also pursue the spiritual task or spiritual journey. Yeah. So you can also cultivate as a lay person when you have faith, sincerity and perseverance. You can also cultivate very well when you have the understanding. So it depends on the individual. The enjoyment of wealth lies not only in using it for ourselves, but also in giving it for the welfare of others. What we eat is only temporary. What we preserve. What we preserve, we leave and go. What we give, we take with us. This one, the meaning is quite deep. Here it means, if you don't know how to use them, your wealth, your property and all those things, so you preserve them, you leave behind, then you go. Yeah. But what you are able to give, you take along. Do you know the meaning? Because most people think that what we give, we cannot take along. We have given away. No. Law of karma is such. The more you give, the more you receive. Because you reap what you sow. So when you give it to your nature, your karmic nature. So your karmic nature will receive them, inherit them. So this is the meaning. We are remembered forever by the good deeds we have done with our worldly possession. So if you do not donate or make use of your possession for the good of the many and yourself, then it will remain in the world and it will end up maybe as inheritance to your siblings or to your loved ones. Then the third type of happiness is called anana sukhang. Anana sukhang means not falling into debt. It's another source of happiness. You are contented with what you have. And if you are economical, means simple life, you need not be in debt to anyone. Debtors live in mental agony and are under obligation to their creditors. Though poor, when debt-free, you feel relief and are mentally happy. I think this is very true for society. For our society, especially our modern society, if you owe people money, the best is don't owe those loan sharks. Otherwise, they will harass you and make your life miserable. Excuse me. So, for normal debts, like you take a mortgage loan, like housing loan, and that one you don't have to worry. Car loan, you can have the means, you qualify, then you can take that loan. For those type of loan is allowable. Not really a type of debt that you can't afford to maybe take or have. So when it comes to that, you have to develop the understanding not to be deluded by what the Buddha said. So in the early days, I remember a lot of those Kayamita who don't understand. He said, "Bratio, I got problem." I say, "Why?" He said, "I got housing loan, I got car loan, I got mortgage for my TV and all those things." I said, "These are not the type of debts that the Buddha referring to. The type of debts that the Buddha referring to are you go and borrow without the ability to pay back. Those type of debts is very, very dangerous. Those type of debts can give you mental agony, mental problem." So sometimes certain families, because of poverty, they need to survive. But it depends on the situation and the condition. During the olden days, most of them are farmers, I think. So when their crop doesn't really do well or go according to what they have planned, take for example, sometimes the crop can be destroyed by pests or by nature's calamity, flood and all those things. So when it happens, then sometimes because of lack of rain, drought, they also have problems. So during such occasion, I think they end up in debt because most of them don't own the land. They have to pay the landlord a certain proportion of what they supposed to earn from their crop. So these are the situation where farmers and people of the olden days get into trouble. That's why in such situation it's not easy. So when you have good crop, you must save. Then when the season is not doing so well, you have to sometimes make the decision, cut loss, or minimize your loss. Okay, then the last one. Leading a blameless life is the fourth aspect of happiness that a lay person can have. And in Pali, it's called Anava Jasukang. So this one is the best source of happiness for a lay person, because you can live a blameless life, A blameless person is a blessing to himself and to others. Means the wise one don't blame you. He is admired by all and feels happier. Being affected by the peaceful vibration of others. It should be stated, however, that it is very, very difficult to get a good name from all people. The noble-minded person are concerned only with a blameless life and are indifferent to the external approbation. The majority in this world delight themselves in enjoying pleasure, while some others seek delight in renouncing them. Non-attachment to the spiritual nibbanic bliss, which is a bliss of relief from suffering, is the highest form of happiness. That's why the Buddha has a saying, Nibbana Paramang Sukhang. Nibbana is the highest peace. Ordinary happiness we welcome, but not its opposite, like pain, which is rather difficult to endure. Pain or suffering comes in different guises. We suffer when we are subject to old age, sickness and death, which is natural. With wisdom and equanimity, we have the ability to bear the suffering of old age, sickness and death. More painful than suffering due to old age is suffering caused by disease, which if chronic or traumatic type, we feel that death is preferable. Even the slightest toothache or headache is sometimes unbearable. When we are subject to disease without being worried, we should be able to bear it at any cost. Well, we must console ourselves thinking that we have escaped from the still more serious or severe disease. Very often we are separate from our near and dear ones. Such separation causes great pain of mind. We should understand that all association must end with separation. Here is a good opportunity to cultivate equanimity. So this is the author's view. So for us as cultivator, we look at it differently. We look at it from the understanding point of view, which is wisdom. When we understand that this form of mind is not what we think, it is impermanent. If you attach and cling to a little suffering, then because it is impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, and grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I, and therefore all this can be mine. So with this wisdom, you liberate your mind. You will not be afflicted when confronting old age, sickness, and death. So you don't have to, like what the author say, practice or cultivate equanimity. No need. The wisdom will free you. More often than not, we are compelled to be united with the unpleasant, which we don't like or detest. We should be able to bear them. Perhaps we are reaping the effect of our own karma, past or present. We should try to accommodate ourselves to the new situation or try to overcome the obstacle by some means or others. Even the Buddha, a perfect being, who has destroyed all defilement, had to endure physical suffering caused by disease and accident. The Buddha was constantly subject to headache. His last illness caused him much physical pain. As a result of Devadatta's hurdling a rock to kill him, his foot was wounded by a splinter, which necessitated an operation. Sometimes he was compelled to starve At times he had to be contented with horse fodder. Due to the disobedience of his own disciple, he was compelled to retire to a forest for 3 months. In the forest, on a couch of leaf, spreading on rough ground, facing piercing cold wind, he slept with perfect equanimity amidst pain and happiness. He lived with a balanced mind. Death is the greatest sorrow we are compelled to face in the course of our wandering in samsara. Sometimes death comes not singly but in numbers, which may even cause insanity. Patachara lost her near and dear ones, parent, husband, brothers and 2 children, and she went mad. The Buddha consoled her. Kisa Gotami lost her only child and went in search for a remedy for her dead son, carrying the corpse. She approached the Buddha and asked for a remedy. The Buddha told her, "Well, sister, can you bring some mustard seed?" "Certainly, Lord." "But sister, it should be from a home which no one has died." Mustard seed she found, but not a place where death has not visited. She understood the nature of life. That's how she free, huh? When the mother was questioned why she did not weep over the tragic death of her only son, she replied, "Uninvited he came, uninformed he went. As he went, so he went. Why should we weep? What envy weeping?" Which means she has realized enlightenment. Otherwise she can't say this. Eh? "As fruit fall from a tree, tender, ripe or old, even so we die in our infancy, in the prime of manhood, or even in old age. The sun rises in the east, only the set in the west. Flower blow in the morning to fade in the evening. Inevitable death, which comes to all without exception. We have to face with perfect equanimity, just like the earth. Whatever is thrown upon her, whether sweet or foul, indifferent is to all alike. No hatred show, nor enmity. So likewise, he in good or ill must even balance ever be." So this one is the author's way of sharing equanimity. Eh? The Buddha said, when touched by worldly condition, the mind of an arahant never wavers. Amidst gain and loss, fame and ill fame, praise and blame, happiness and sorrow, let us try to maintain a balanced mind, which is equanimity born of wisdom. Okay, we end here. Eh? So next one is chapter 44, the problems of life. Okay. Do you have any question regarding this 8 worldly condition? Anybody? You can just raise your hand. Eh? We will pass you the mic. Anybody? So no question is all understood. Eh? Good sign. Okay, then we go to the new book. Eh? Straight from the Heart, Unique Code. Unique Dhamma Code. So like I have explained earlier on, this is a very good book. It can teach you a lot of things. It can help you develop a lot of understanding. Eh? Okay, we will read through the preface and acknowledgement. Eh? Then after that, maybe we will share the code. Preface. based on some very good feedback and suggestion from our Kayanamitas, who had the condition to listen to Brother Teo's Dhamma sharing over the past 15 years. Brother Teo had agreed to allow his unique Dhamma code to be compiled into a book form for free distribution to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive it. It is Brother Teo's sincere wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth and cultivators will be able to make use of this enclosed unique Dhamma code to develop a clear and better understanding of the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. These unique Dhamma codes can benefit cultivators in many ways through acting as a clear important pointers needed for cultivation and to understand clearly what this awareness-based or sati-based meditation as taught by the Buddha is. Also to help cultivators understand the true meaning of sati and the two aspects of mind. As these unique Dhamma codes were mostly compiled from the Dhamma sharing and talks delivered by Brother Teo, the text is aligned as closely as possible to his colloquial style of speech while delivering the talk. However, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. With this, it is hoped that reader can adjust themselves accordingly to better understand its true meaning and intent. To listen or watch the recorded audio and video file, you can log in on to his website, brotherteo.com, under repository of Dhamma material or other audio files, Sumanjaya HABA, Subhanjaya Buddhist Association Talks, YouTube videos, or just Google brotherteo.com, or alternatively Google search brotherteo's Kayanamita, a repository of Dhamma material to view them. So this one is just for people who are new. Then acknowledgement, page Romanized 3. It is the donor's sincere intention that this booklet on the compilation of unique Dhamma code by Brother Teo be given free to those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all Dhamma friends or Kayanamitas who have donated and helped out in the compilation, formatting, proofreading, etc., to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Yeah? Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Even those who are new, you don't worry. You are included, even though you have not donated, because the Kayanamita funds actually sponsored the printing of this book. Yeah? So as Kayanamita, we are part of the Kayanamita ship. So whatever the Kayanamita fund do, you partake in it. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Li Mingbi, who had taken her own initiative to volunteer to develop the initial draft compilation of all my unique codes, Dhamma codes, for my subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma book to be printed. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical sufferings and dangers, and may there be love, peace and joy deep within their hearts, and may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated and helped out in one way or other to realize their good and noble wishes or aspirations soon as possible. Beta, Okay, the biography you can read it up yourself. This biography of biography or biodata or virtue is actually quite useful. It can give you faith if you really read through it. Okay, I leave it to you to read through it. Maybe for the recording, I just read through it. Ratio graduated from the University of Blair in civil engineering in February 1979. He has been a spiritual practitioner, cum meditator, since 1971. Since his retirement from his engineering career in the year 2001, he has been sharing his spiritual understanding and experiences of the Dhamma with serious and keen spiritual and Dhamma practitioners and others who are keen in their search for true peace, happiness, joy, and liberation from birth and death, and all mental suffering. In our present-day society, true peace and happiness is difficult to come by, so it is Brother Teo's sincere wish that this Dhamma, as taught by the Buddha, can be a great source of very important and useful support to help mankind understand life, thereby liberating their mind from all mental suffering and affliction, and make them more virtuous, nobler, and wiser living beings. It is also Brother Teo's hope that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators will be able to make use of his sharing of the truth to develop a better understanding of life, to help others, and be a blessing to all of humanity. Over the years, he has also counseled and helped many people with severe depression, karmic condition, career, health, marriage, financial separation, and relationship-related problems to recover beautifully via his sharing of his rather penetrative Dhamma or truth as taught by the Buddha with them. He gives Dhamma talk, conducts Dhamma meditation classes and meditation retreats at various meditation centers and places that invited him. He also conducts weekly meditation Dhamma classes at Wuping Jingse, a Mahayana Vihara every Sunday, and at Subanjaya every Thursday. He also conducts a weekly Dhamma sharing session class with a group of very serious spiritual friends every Tuesday night at his PJ SS2 residence. He also organizes and leads many spiritual camp tour trips to various spiritual places of importance for the Kayamitas. And Brother Teo was invited to present an international seminar paper on life management with meditation, experience and success at the international seminar dated 10 to 12 August 2013, held in Bangkok, Thailand. The seminar was co-organized by the World Buddhist University, the World Fellowship of Buddhists, and the Pipavanaram Mindfulness Center, PMC. His seminar paper on success in life via meditation as taught by the Buddha can be downloaded via this link. They are all in the various format, PDF, e-publish. What is more bit? What format? Amazon, okay. Mobi. For more detail on Brother Teo's Dhamma activity and his Kayamitaship grouping, please log on to his Dhamma website at http://brotheo.com. Okay, that goes the introduction. Now we come to unique Dhamma code by Brother Teo, straight from the heart. So we will start with page 1. The first code, meditation support, the four support for awareness-based meditation. Yeah? Okay. Maybe I get somebody to read. It's easier so that you all can absorb better. Otherwise, if I read, you all may not get it. So, Tammy, use that mic, you help to read. Good one.
Good evening, all Karamitas. Okay. Number one, meditation support. The four supports of awareness-based meditation are: number one, relax; two, aware; three, 24 hours; and four, trust. Relax into every mind state that arises, naturally aware, without thought. Maintain awareness for as long as you can, if possible, over 24 hours. Trust your inner nature to meditate, without the interference of thought.
So this one, I think by now everybody should understand. These are the four very important support for awareness-based meditation. So first support is relax. Relax body and mind. Then at the mind level, relax into every mind state that arises, like tension, stress, or whatever. You just relax into it. Then sometimes the mind states can have various type of restlessness or resentment, anger, hatred, envy, jealousy. Then sometimes when you are very tense, there is tightness in your forehead or whatever, or there is sensation disturbing you, like pain, itchiness, or whatever. So when they arise, you just relax into it. Another way to understand it is distraction. Whatever that distract you or pull your mind away from your awareness, that is a distraction. So take for example, if there is a painful sensation somewhere, okay? Whenever this type of thing arises, you don't have the wisdom and the understanding, you will not be able to deal with such situation. This is a common meditation problem. So most people, after they sit for a while, they feel pain or numbness or certain type of sensation disturbing them. So their mind are distracted from the awareness, from the meditative state. Then it latches on to that sensation. And the worst is, people go and label that sensation, thereby transforming it into mental hindrance. Because in the early days, there is a type of teaching where they teach you how to label that sensation. If it's pain, label it pain, pain, pain. Or itchiness, itchy, itchy, itchy. Or loss in thought, thinking, thinking, thinking. So if you do that, you are actually creating more thinking, more thought. You are verbalizing. You are not meditating. Then when you label it with negativity, it becomes a mental hindrance. You will. You dislike that sensation. So all this, when you don't have the understanding, you become gullible. Especially those who thought the method comes from a great teacher, whom people believe is enlightened. Then they gullibly go and follow without investigating, without finding out, without developing any like investigative training on whatever that has been told to you. So like I always say, meditation has to be done with understanding. Without understanding, you become gullible and you cannot develop the correct approach to meditate. Because when there is no understanding, you simply do things. You become gullible. You just follow instruction, thinking that by doing that, you are meditating. Yeah. This understanding is very important. So whatever distraction that pull you away, you're supposed to relax into it. Don't verbalize anymore. Just relax. When you relax, you maintain awareness. You are not distracted by it. You are not like disturbed by whatever that arises. So there is another technique that an American monk come up with. They call it the 6R. So his one is also not bad. The first R, he say, is to recognize. Means recognize that your mind is not developing the meditation anymore. There is a distraction that actually distracted your mind and pulled it away from the meditative state of inner awareness. And at that time, when it happened, you lost your ability to relax and maintain awareness. So his second R is to recognize that the mind has been distracted. Then the second R is to relax into that mind state. So it's the same, except that he put in the first R, which he explained, recognize that there is a distraction, which is very good. To me, it's not bad. But for me, I want to generalize. That's why I say relax into whatever mind state that arises, whether it's your labeling or whatever. Don't label, don't do anything, just relax into it. Don't verbalize, don't do anything, relax. Then, after that, what do you do? Maintain awareness. Yeah. But his 6R, he do it differently. He said, recognize, relax, second hour. Third hour, he go and smile. He said, re-smile. So to him, is when you don't know how to relax, like your mind sweeping method, visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile, remember I told you? So when you smile, what happens? You no longer have tension in it. Yeah? When you smile, you are in a happy mood. So when you are happy, when you can smile, you cannot tense up. So he used that as a skillful means. So recognize, relax, then re-smile. So that way also it can help meditator. But his last one, you have to be careful. He said, repeat. Don't repeat. You repeat, it becomes mechanical. Then the fourth R, he said, return to your object of meditation. So return means go back to anapanasati, he said. So all this is various skillful ways that other people introduce to develop the meditation. But when you have the understanding, you check, no harm. In a way, it's quite good. But towards the end, when he asks you to repeat, you have to be careful. So return then repeat. Repeating it without understanding become mechanical. So that one, maybe later on at the retreat, for those who are going to a retreat, I will go through with you. It's in the Heart Sutta notes. Then the second support, which is very easy, very simple. Naturally aware, maintain awareness without thought. Aware means just aware. It's like you pay attention, but you don't think. Attentively listen, you don't think. So last Sunday, I think the previous Sunday, sorry, there was one of the sharing. The video, I think, Chin Hao just sent out. That one is very good. You have to listen to it. You have to develop the understanding of it. I explained clearly the difference between sati, awareness, and attention. Because I realized many cultivators or meditators, they don't understand the meaning of sati. The sati, as taught by the Buddha, is very deep, very profound. So sati is actually awareness before the knowing, when you just aware before you perceive, before you label that thing. That is sati. But the other word, attention, is easier to understand. That's why I introduced that word, because Krishnamurti used that word too. When we say we pay attention to somebody speaking or to our teacher teaching, what does it mean? Pay attention means you are attentively listening, isn't it? True or not? So attention is without thought also. I attentively listen. But the moment I think or I comment on what I hear, what is happening? You are lost in thought, isn't it? You are verbalizing, commenting according to your views, opinion. Cannot be you are. How come he say like that? My teacher teach differently. The moment you do this, you are not listening anymore, isn't it? True or not? You are not attentive anymore. That's why to be attentive is to be silent without verbalization, without thought, without chattering. Just pay attention. Otherwise, you are not attentive. So that word, I find it easier to share with people, to teach. Then you understand what sati is. But sati and attentiveness, there is still a difference, understand not? When you pay attention, attentively listening, that is called the art of listening. Means you listen attentively. But when you listen, you also perceive it, but you don't go and continue after you perceive. You continuously perceive to understand. That's it, finish. So that one is sati perception. Sati perception. Aware, perceive, finish. You don't go and create thought. You don't go and create proliferation of thought. You don't go and comment on what you hear or what you see. So that itself is sati in a different form. Sati, but you are attentively listening or seeing. You see specific phenomenal awareness and yet you perceive, you know what that thing is. So that one is useful for living life. You have to live life, you have to perceive. You cannot just silent and aware. That is in the form of meditation for you to train your mind. Because when you silent and aware, you develop the ability to have the silent mind without thought. Just aware. Then sometimes initially, at the beginning, you are not skillful. The moment you aware, you perceive already. Do you realize that? Aware, you perceive it. But never mind. Aware, perceive, finish. aware, perceive, finish. Don't continue. Don't go and create proliferation of thought. Then you will become lost in thought. So aware, after that, if you don't want to perceive, also can. Later on, when you become more skillful, it just aware throughout. Whatever it do, not important. That's why I remember I used to share with cultivator and some of you. Just aware, 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 finish. No perception at all. Yeah. But sometimes you want to know what that thing is. Like just now, when we started meditation, outside raining. How many of you realize that? Very heavy. Then when you silent, the awareness of it is different. The more you perceive, the awareness actually no more. But that moment only. Understand? That's why you have to relax, maintain awareness until it's just aware, aware, aware. The danger of awareness is if you are not able to maintain the awareness, you go into the sleeping mode. Understand? You become sleepy. Yeah. Here you lack virya, spiritual zeal. Then if you do the former lying down meditation, too relaxed, you snore, you sleep. So the skill is, don't lapse into unconscious. Sometimes you are so relaxed, the mind wants to enter the unconscious. Never mind. But the moment you do that, your body is naturally equipped. It will snore. One sound. The moment that one come out, if you are aware before that, the awareness will pick it up. Because it's like you didn't sleep. You are able to maintain the awareness. But because it's so relaxed, you want to fall into the subconscious or the unconscious. You want to go into the sleeping mode. So when you go into that sleeping mode, your body, most of us, are naturally equipped. It will snore. I always hear my own snoring. That one sound. Finish. Stop. Then you maintain awareness again. So this is training. Initially, you do it this way. Train. That's why initially you will hear your own snoring. Nothing strange. Don't worry. But if you are very tired, you snore, don't blame yourself. Because you are so tired. But try to maintain awareness. But if you want to sleep, go back to your room. If you are too tired and you really cannot do it, then you go back to your room and have a good sleep. Then only come out and continue your meditation. Or you can try it in your own room. Or your own bed. When you are at the retreat. So this is how you train. Relax. Maintain awareness. So that there is no thought. Then whatever thinking, sankhara, activity or what, it will start to slow down, slow down, slow down. Until suddenly it becomes very quiet, very still. That is your true mind. But the trouble with most meditator and cultivator is, the moment it becomes like that, you become curious. What is it? How come like that? Then some worse. They say, Brother, I thought I die already. No thought. Because they think there must be thought. No thought, they scared. There is fear. They think they are dead. Because they don't exist anymore. So a lot of funny people. Yeah. For me, no. No thought means that true awareness, silent. Then you understand what that pure nature is. What that pure awareness is. What that silent mind is. And that is your true mind. Your true nature. Your true nature is just the awareness nature. Before the perception, the thinking, the mental activity, the aggregates of mind. Just that nature. Realize that. Understand that. And it can only arise when there is no more thought activity. No more aggregates of mind. That is the real meditation. And when you can realize that, That is the beginning of meditation. Means you know how to make use of that silent mind, your true mind, your awareness nature to be aware. Meditation is about being aware. When you are able to be aware, you can understand many things. Self-knowledge, all of the movement within your own form and mind, you start to see them, observe them through mindfulness, through awareness. You are just aware, silently aware. That's how you understand. When you are aware, you start to understand how your mind stir, how your mind react, how it labor, how it perceive, how it create thought, how it project. Then all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught, the three evil roots, the five spiritual faculties, five mental, you start to see them all. Then the teaching you can start to understand and link. Then the four noble truth, you see them. Factors of enlightenment, everything, you start to see them. That is what meditation is all about. Then when you see them clearly, you start to understand. Then you can straighten your view. And you are not gullible anymore. You are not deluded by it anymore. Then after that, when you are stable in your ability to be aware and silent, then in the midst of life, your mind enters sati. Means in the form of meditation, it enters sati, then you become very sensitive. Then everything like magnified. Then when you come out of it, you realize your awareness and mindfulness become very different, very stable. Then every moment, your awareness and your kaya is one. Then when you see, everything is in sati. That's why the seeing is in sati. Specific phenomenal awareness. Here is sati. The hearing, the smell, the taste, tactile, everything is like slow down, slow motion. It's aware. It flows with it. That's why specific phenomenal awareness is the awareness and the phenomenal move as one. Physical phenomena, nature's phenomena, mental phenomena. That's why all your mental activity or movement, you can see that very clearly. Then there is space between thought, where there is no thought, no thinking, no movement, nothing. There is energy. There is wisdom energy. That one can insight into phenomena, can awaken. This is how you develop the meditation. Okay? So relax, aware. If possible, maintain the awareness for as long as you can. If possible, 24 hours. Then if you have enough, you want to sleep, you can be aware and allow it to go to sleep. Then you can see how your mind actually went into the subconscious and the unconscious, then how it go into the unconscious mode where you really have deep sleep. Then when you are in the subconscious, and sometimes even in the unconscious, when it starts to create subconscious release in the form of dream, your awareness can be aware of it. Your awareness can see it very clearly. That's why this type of meditation you cannot learn from other places. Because this one you need very, very stable mindfulness. And your mindfulness must be able to go into your subconscious and the unconscious. Then the awareness is always there. Then you start to understand that that true mind, that true nature is always there, whether you are aware of it or not. So that nature within is very, very different. Because during the early days, after I have stabilized it, I went into it. And I technically, I never sleep. I fully aware of all the subconscious release and the unconscious moment. Even the unconscious, the body actually sleep, snore like a pig. But the awareness inside there is aware. Then the subconscious release or whatever is aware. It can see the release of the subconscious in the form of dream state and all. That's why it understands. And why this thought? Why not other thought? The subconscious release are your trap phobia, your trap fear, insecurity, attachment, clinging, grasping, the one that you haven't really understood, or your unfinished problem of life when you are living your daily life. So they are all trapped inside your memory. Yeah. That's why when you are asleep, when you are not creating, thinking or what, that nature within will come and heal you. Then they create this subconscious release so that your phobia, your fear, all these things, they will be released out. Otherwise, you can become cuckoo. You can go to Tancharam Bhutan. That's why sleep is a very good way to recuperate, to release your stress, to release your subconscious fear, phobia, insecurities, counsel memory, and all those things. So these are all released out. Released out. Then sometimes the very strong attachment, especially the fear is so intense. For us who went through college education or university or education, you will always have this experience. Even after your exam, you graduated already, come out, work for many years, you still dream that you haven't passed your final exam or your exam because of your fear. Your very strong, what they call phobia. They call it exam fever. Exam fear. So keep on dreaming, I realize, that you haven't passed your exam. Then when you wake up, you say, what is going on? I already graduated, working for so long. How come this thought keep on coming? It's actually the subconscious release. But as long as you don't understand, it will continue to happen until you understand, until you develop the ability through your awareness. You tell the awareness, the next time it arises, with my awareness, I understand that I know this is a dream. This is not real. And then after that, it will be gone. It will never happen again. That's why no more of this type of dreams. So this is how meditation can allow you to go in to understand the subconscious release and the unconscious release. All the trap phobia and fear inside your mind states. Okay? Then the last one is trust. Trust your inner nature to meditate without the interference of thought. So this trust is very important. Trust means no more thought involved. No more even try to direct your mind to meditate, to investigate, or to do anything. The mind is completely not doing anything. Trust your nature to do. That one you can only do when you can locate your gateway to your nature. Means after your mind has entered sleep, after your mind has the ability to be aware of the true mind until it is very stable, then you silence everything and don't do anything. Then bring your awareness down to your heart area. Silent, don't do anything. Then let the awareness detect. It can be a vibration or your heartbeat or whatever. Then be aware of it. Silent everything and just aware of it. Initially, it's like very loud, pounding. That is because you don't know how to relax. The heartbeat, everything is still very gross. But when you know how to relax and maintain awareness of it, it will slow down, until like the heartbeat hardly beat. Like everything becomes so still, returning to its natural state of inner peace, inner tranquility and stillness. So that is opacity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind and the silent mind. Then when you are able to be completely without thought, it will detect by itself your gateway. Then when it detects your gateway, it will melt into it. the energy will flow into it without you doing anything. Then your awareness weakness. Trust your nature. Your nature will know what to do. Because that nature is already intelligent. And it will know how to activate whatever it needs to activate. Then you can see the internal movement. How when the yin-yang energy from outside, when it goes into the gateway, it melts into it and become pure energy. And how that pure energy transforms your inner nature. Everything is very clear. That's how the awareness-based meditation develops. And this form support, you only do when you are already very advanced in your meditation. Normally, if you don't take the bodhisattva way, you don't have to do this, the form support. The form support can only be done by those who go the bodhisattva way. Yeah. So this one is just for your information. Yeah? Okay. Code number two. Tell me.
Number two. To realize our self nature, silent, relaxed, aware, and let it return to its original state, you will realize your true mind and self nature.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Let me sit on the chair, huh? Better. So this one, quote number two. Here, quote means Q-U-O-T-E. That day, I think one of the Kayamita, was it Lisa? You asked me, you thought it was C-O-D-E. Not you. Somebody else came and see me. He said, Bertil, I thought this Dhamma quote is C-O-D-E. Oh no, not that type of quote. This one is Q-U-O-T-E. So number two is very important. To realize our true mind or self nature. This one is very easy. And this is real meditation. That's why I don't understand why people go and use their thought, go and note and go and verbalize and go and focus, concentrate and do all the funny type of meditation. Which is not sati at all. Yeah. If you do that, your thought is active. When your thought is active, that is thought-based meditation. Then how can you realize the Dhamma which is beyond thought, beyond mind? It's obviously not going to help you, not going to benefit you. But people cannot understand. That's why now with this unique code, I am teaching you to go into the meditation through an understanding which is the fastest. If you do this, you don't need method, you don't need technique. You only need to understand. So I read to you, to realize our true mind or self nature. Silent, relaxed, aware. Which is the first three support. Okay? Silent means don't think. Relax and maintain awareness. And what do? You don't do anything. You just let the mind return to its original state. Then you will realize your true mind or your true nature or self nature. Why? Because your true mind is without thought. Understand not? It's just an awareness nature. All the thinking, the perception, the activity of mind and the aggregate of mind, they actually came out from there. Because the awareness is like the source, the energy. So from there, you have your senses. Upon contact, it created the aggregates, the thinking, the perception through your memory, everything. So all this is what we call the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the condition arising mind. Dependent on condition, they arise. So before they arise, there is just that pure nature. Understand? That's why when you allow the thought to cease, to slow down and return to its original state, then when there is no more thought, what happens? You will realize your true mind, your true nature. And that is your meditative mind. And that is the one that you are looking for to meditate. Without that one, you cannot insight into phenomena. You cannot awaken. You cannot develop the understanding. That's why meditation is very simple. Okay? So, to realize our self-nature or true nature, you just silent everything, means no thought, relax, maintain awareness, and just let it return to its original state. Then you will realize the true mind or the self-nature. So this one clear now, huh? Okay, the next one.
Number three, meditation is just the silent mind being aware of what is going on within our form and mind to see the truth of dependent origination clearly and to see things as they are via the direct seeing.
Very good. Thank you so much. So this code number three is a complementary code. After you understand number two, you are able to realize that true mind, the silent mind, the awareness, then you can meditate, isn't it? True or not? So to meditate, what must you do? You don't do anything. So meditation is just the silent mind being aware of what is going on within our form and mind. Do you understand? Don't go and look for things. Chase after things. Don't go and focus, concentrate, and do funny things. It's just silently aware. And develop the awareness of what is going on within our form and mind to see what? The truth of paticca samuppada or dependent origination clearly. Means you see clearly how you function as a human being. How your mind follow paticca samuppada upon contact, what happened? At the moment of contact, if there is avijja, avijja paccaya sankhara, see it. Not the word, not the knowledge. See it in the meditation. Then you know it's not linear, it's multidimensional. That's how I understand. I saw them all within the meditation. That's why I can share with you the teaching, the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. So all this is how you should meditate. Then when you do that, you can see things as they are, not according to your views, opinion, and conditioning, or your memory through its views, opinion, and conditioning tells you. That one is not seeing things as they are. That one is seeing things according to your views, opinion, and conditioning, and belief system. That one is with delusion. Because before you are enlightened, your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system are all wrong. That's why you have to have the silent mind to see things as they are, without words, without concept, without views, opinion, and conditioning. Then you will understand truth. Then you can insight into phenomena, awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self nature or empty nature of existence. Okay? Then the direct seeing. Direct seeing means when you see things as they are, means that one is the direct seeing. Not seeing via your mundane mind, your views, opinion, and conditioning. That one is mundane seeing, not the direct seeing. Okay? You see without words, without concept, without views and opinion. You see truth, reality, without thought. Okay? Next one.
Number four, meditation. Meditation is very easy when you understand that the natural state of mind before the stirring is the true mind, which is the meditative mind, true mind, that meditative silent mind, that is without thought. You are already aware, so don't have to practice to be aware or try to be aware, because the trying and practice is by the thought. When thought is active, you are no longer aware, because you are already lost in thought, preoccupied with the thinking.
This one very easy to understand, isn't it? After you have understood the first three, number four is a general progression of it. That's why this number four is very good. The title is meditation. Meditation is very easy when you understand that your natural state of mind before the stirring or the creation of the thinking mind or mundane mind is the true mind. Means the true mind that has no thought. That is your awareness nature. So that meditative silent mind is the mind that is without thought. And that is your mind that you need to use for meditation. Excuse me. Then the other thing you have to understand is, without thought, you're already aware. Means, you just relax, maintain awareness, and let the thought cease. The moment you are without thought, the awareness come out. You don't try to go and become aware, understand? Don't try to be aware. If you try, it's the thought trying to be aware. That is the thought noting, doing all the funny thing. And that is not sati, not awareness. So this one is very important. So don't have to practice to be aware or try to be aware. That's why people go and practice to be aware. Where got such practice? And who practice? The thought practice. When the thought is active, you are already lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking. So how can there be any awareness? Understand this. Then you will not become gullible. Can follow? Eh? So if this is clear, very easy to meditate. That's why meditation is very easy. Relax. Then you are aware automatically. When you are relaxed, you don't think, isn't it? When you are relaxed and silent, you are in the meditative state. You are already aware. Don't go and foolishly and gullibly follow instruction. Note this, note that, focus, concentrate, try to practice awareness. Or try to be aware. Who tried? The thought actively try. Cannot, you cannot do it. So understand that. Next one. Tell me.
Number five. Therefore, just relax and maintain awareness and let things be. Then the mundane mind will slow down and return to its original state before the stirring or thinking to become just aware.
Very good. So now it becomes easier and easier for you to understand. And meditation becomes clearer. So number five, I read to you. Therefore, just relax and maintain awareness. Again, the first two support, remember? And let things be, means don't do anything. Whatever arises, let it arise. Then the mundane mind or the thinking mind will slow down. Then when it sees, it will return to its original state before the stirring or the thinking to be just aware. And that is your true mind. That is your awareness nature. Do you understand? So meditation becomes very easy if you can do that. No need to do anything. When you don't do, there is no thought involved. That is real meditation. You remember Krishnamurti say, wherever there is a effort, there is no meditation. What is effort? Yeah? Someone want to put in effort to do meditation. And who is the flow? The flow is the thought. That's why wherever there is effort, there is no meditation. Because you cannot be aware. You are lost in thought. Understand? So all these are very useful. Yeah? Then the other thing that Krishnamurti say is, wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. This is the best. Now you understand, eh? Who is the meditator? The thought try to meditate, understand or not? And when the thought try to meditate, how can you be aware? Do you understand? If you cannot be aware, then there is no meditation. Do you understand? So don't go and look for things. Don't go and like actively becoming the meditator. Want to realize, want to attain, want to meditate. All this is the thought behind, deceiving you, distracting you, creating mental activity, creating sankhara activity. It's the opposite of meditation. Understand it, see this, then you know how to meditate. Otherwise, you cannot do it. And now you start to understand why thought-based meditation doesn't stand a chance. Why almost 99.999%, they are doing thought-based meditation. Now you start to understand. Okay? The next one.
Number six. Meditation, as taught by the Buddha, is to develop a stable sati, leading to heedfulness, to see things as they are, and to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, namely anicca, dukkha, and anatta, to awaken, thereby realizing the wisdom needed to free our mind.
So this one is very straightforward, eh? Now very clear. Last time you cannot understand. You keep on reading all the book and people tell you, you must insight into the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. But you don't know what this thing is and you don't know how to do it. So now with this quote, it's very easy. Meditation as taught by the Buddha is to develop a stable sati leading to heedfulness. Because the Buddha say the heedful are the heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So if you are not heedful, you don't stand a chance. Then Dhammapada verse 23 states very clearly what heedfulness is. He said the constantly meditative, ever mindful, they will realize the supreme, born free, Nibbana. So what is ever mindful? To be ever mindful, you must train your mind to be mindful first, to be aware. Means to develop all the awareness-based meditation so that there is sati, awareness before the knowing. Then stabilize that to become ever mindful. Then use it to meditate, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, leading to heedfulness. And when you do that, you can see things as they are, because there is no thought involved. It's just aware. Ever mindful. Constantly meditative. Means constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. That's it. You don't do anything else. Then when you can see things as they are, without thought, you can insight into the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, to realize the empty nature of existence. No thought leading to no ma and no dwelling. That's why all this become very beautiful. Then you awaken, thereby realizing the wisdom needed to free your mind. When you see them clearly that they are all impermanent, when you attach and cling, one thing's your way, which is not nature's way, suffering arise. You see them. This second one is very powerful. After I share with you the example, I finish it off first. Because it's impermanent, it follows nature's law, dependent originating, condition arising. Wherever there is condition, things arise. When the supporting condition continue, it sustains itself, it's like it exists. But when the supporting condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. So how can this be a permanent unchanging entity? Clear or not? There is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. That's why it's non-self, not you. Anatta. And because it's anatta, there is no reality. Everything just arise and pass away. Arise, sustain itself and pass away. Come and go, come and go. Nature's phenomena. Mighty nature rolling by. He no you, he no me. Just nature. Yeah. Then the second universal characteristic of of dukkha, I told you, when you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer, isn't it? True or not? Take for example, a lot of things in life, you expect to be promoted. Then you want your spouse to understand you, remember your birthday and all those things, buy you a nice present and give. So when it didn't happen, what happened? You develop the unhappiness, the anger, the hatred. Then you start to suspect, this guy, last time tackle me, that time say all those sweet words, buy me beautiful roses, offer me this, offer me that, take me honeymoon. Now, no time for me. So, a lot of these things can create suffering. Then the best example is what? Recently, our country went through a lot of this political uncertainty and changes. Do you know, when you attach to certain views, opinion, and when you want things your way, when the situation evolves and turn the other way, what happened to you? You become miserable, unhappy. Ayo, how can these people do that? Backdoor and all those things. Do you see the suffering? I already told you, the Buddha said, when condition is like that, things will be like that. Remember? Let it unfold. Be at peace. Understand it. Then play your part. Act with a good mind. So that you don't suffer. Whatever will be, will be. Nature is. Truth is. Condition like that. Things will be like that. Cannot be otherwise. Otherwise you never peaceful. Otherwise you see any other friend or kayan mitaji. You will bring to how very kanchang. Why must you do that? Why must you feel, worry, agitated? A lot of people tell me, what I already love, brother, I think must migrate, stay here, no more future. What the hell is going on? That fear, that phobia, that worry, that anxiety. Why can't you be with the moment, to accept the reality of the moment and be at peace? You see the power of the universal characteristic when you don't have wisdom and understanding. That's why human beings suffer a lot, not only suffer. Okay? I heard the alarm, so 12:30 over, so we end. Thank you so much. Thank you to Tammy. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we stop at code number 6. Number 7, you go and read yourself. Meditation must be done with what? Understanding. That one I will explain next Tuesday. Next Tuesday still got our last class before retreat. So if I can cover more, I save a lot of time. At the retreat, I don't have to repeat all this. I say you go back and listen. That's why you got almost 10 days, 10 to 11 days to prepare yourself before you go up. Understand this unique code. And when you go up there, you will meditate beautifully. You will meditate with understanding. You progress very fast. That's why I say this retreat, a lot of you all will transform. You can, without you realizing, even beginner, all of a sudden, within the first 1 or 2 days, your mind can just settle down and become so quiet and so still. Even the so-called experienced and skillful meditator, they cannot do it. But this is a free mind, understand or not? In that silent tranquility and stillness. It's not a conditioned mind in concentration, focusing with energy field and all those things. That's why last time I remember, when I shared this with Ingby, Ingby said, oh, she smiled. Such meditation you cannot find. And they are indeed very, very powerful, very useful. And yet, it's very easy when you understand. But when you don't understand it, hell lot of difficult. Do you understand? But nobody can understand. So how to do? All thought-based. So when you do thought-based, you don't stand a chance. You are completely out of that awareness-based meditation. You dwell within thought-based meditation. And that is what 99% of people are doing nowadays, for your information. Now I can say this, because you start to understand. Last time I come, when I say this, you say, Brother Teo, cheese sinner. People have been meditating for umpteen years, using method, technique, and all those supposed to be vipassana. You go and tell me all these are thought-based. Because last time, I don't have the condition, and you are not ready. That's why I cannot say anything. I just tell you, whatever you are familiar with, use them. But understand that they are just method and technique, not the meditation. It's just a skillful means to anchor your mind, to train your mind. And now you start to understand them. You start to develop the clearer understanding of what this thing is. Otherwise you can't. Because you're so conditioned. How to meditate without method, without technique? Oh. And the first question you ask is always, teach me how to meditate. You are asking for method and technique. Understand? You don't want to understand what is meditation. That's why you become gullible. That itself is a wrong question. Then the funny thing is, like last time, I used to explain to Kayamita, they asked this question. Aware of what? Who is aware? This type of wrong question also people ask. I explained them in that video that Jin Hao sent out. Difference between sati, awareness, and attention. It's so beautiful. What is awareness, sati? Sati is awareness before the knowing. Before the knowing means what? Before you perceive. So the question, aware of what, is it the right question? It's the wrong question, isn't it? The moment you're aware of something, you are perceiving, you are not aware anymore. You are lost in thought. That's why I say, aware, perceive, you are still safe. But don't go and after that, create the proliferation of thought. Then you are lost in thought. Then who is aware? The egoic mind. The personality. The thought. Understand? If it's not the thought, how can it be egoic? Understand? Who is aware? That awareness nature is not a being. It cannot come out. Understand? It got no words, no concept. So how can you ask that question, who is aware? And this one was taught in the Four Foundations of Mindfulness seminar. I heard the video, the audio file, somebody sent to me. The moment I heard those questions, I straight away stop the video. I don't want other audio file. I don't want to listen anymore. Because people don't understand. And they discuss that one, like, got head, got tail, no, utau ubui, no. No. Until, like, very, very interesting. So, don't be gullible when you understand. You will have the understanding. And you will not do those foolish things. You will not be gullible again. Okay? So, let us now share merit, transfer merit, then we end. Akasata ca bumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa Cirang rakan tu lokasasana Itta wata camehi Sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu Sabasampati sidiya Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Devo asatu kalena Sasa sampati hetu ce Vito bawatu loko ce Raja bawatu damiko Imina punyang kamena Mame bangla samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patia Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. There we end. Thank you.